B-Pod Studios.
Getting to the bottom of the story in the middle of the day.
Former chapter head of the Turkey Association.
Hello, Walter.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Your final here tonight, Bruins 4, Hurricanes 2, and this series is on serve. Carolina with a 2-1 lead. They were down 0-2 in this series. Today they were down their top two defensemen. Today, Brad Marchand, 2 goals and 3 assists. And this series is tied at 2 games apiece. Your final here in Game 4, Bruins 5, Hurricanes 2.
Oh my God, back from the dead. You're Boston Bruins.
Who said they were dead?
I did.
Me?
Fully admitted.
Oh, multiple times.
Not hiding from it.
Didn't I tell you?
You did.
You did, so you shouldn't be impressed. You should just sit there today and be quiet.
You're the only one on the station, I think, that said that.
I'll go home. I got stuff to do.
I take that back.
I think Fred and Rich had him dead. I think the 2-6 show all had him dead.
I even said, you can go down 0-2. It's no problem. It's fine.
Yeah, I thought the way they went down 0-2 was pretty indicative of the way that thing was going, which was they got their ass handed to them in 2 consecutive games, the same way they did throughout the regular season against this team. And some way, somehow, the Bruins have managed to tie up this series and do it in rather convincing fashion and do it with odds stacked against them and without their top two defensemen yesterday, not having either one of them. In yesterday's game.
This is all after he split them up, made the goalie change. I know, you know, you talk a lot about, you know, what Cassidy could or couldn't do heading into Friday night. And I had him dead. It was an utter mismatch those first two games. Hardy, you called it after 0-1 because we were talking about, that game 2 is a must win because you can't get down 0-2. And you're like, you can get down 0-2. Yeah. And I sat here and looked at you like you were nuts.
Come back.
Because it was such a mismatch. And everybody kept saying, it's tight. It was tight. The games were tighter.
It wasn't a mismatch. They were tight games. All of them have been tight games. So I'm not saying that Carolina could not have swept, like that was out of the picture. But going down 0-2, the way they went down 0-2, said all you got to do is win Friday night at home, and you're down a game in the series.
Yeah.
And then, now, I was even a little surprised the way things came around yesterday.
Oh, when the McAvoy news came.
With McAvoy being out, and then the top line just saying like, oh yeah, we're still one of the best top lines in hockey. Oh yeah, let's go do that. That was a bit surprising at how much they popped yesterday in just that one game. But I said, don't worry. It's okay. Now that Bruins could still lose the series. Obviously, Hurricanes are real, real good, but I never looked at it them being down 1-0 or 2-0 as like, that's it. No, the games were too close, and quite frankly, the Bruins are still too good. Even without Lindholm and McAvoy, there's enough on that team to give virtually anyone a series, and that's what we got now. We got a best of three.
Best of three going forward. The team that wins 2 of the next 3 is going to move on.
Okay.
And all right.
No, seriously.
So, now watch this.
I'm just
this is what I'm here for today. Beetle, give it to him.
What I do?
Tell me all about the game then.
Yeah. Two games was more impressive? What stands out to you, Zoe? Go ahead.
Well, yesterday, obviously, without having McAvoy. You know, especially after switching up the defensive pairings.
So what you noticed from the game yesterday is McAvoy didn't play.
Well, yeah. The top line at Swayman is a story from the weekend. Your top line at Swayman is your story from the weekend, from the two games. And Swayman really didn't have to stand on his head. I mean, he made a couple key timely saves.
Made some nice saves. I don't.
But that's like not the reason.
I don't think he's the story. Let me tell you.
I don't want to cut you off.
Okay.
Sorry.
let me tell you what I think the story is from game 3. And it just so happens there are 2 of our guys. Forbert and Wagner.
Tremendous.
The foot.
Those guys.
Game 3, he was fabulous.
And the TNT guys were slobbering. They were just swinging from Wags, you know what's in the entire game. You know, the Walpole kid, timely hits, good energy, good momentum shifts out there. Now, He's not the hero of the game or anything, but what was different? What was different? Forbert's play is out there. He's playing heavy. He's playing with heavy hands. He is playing with strong legs, especially in game three. Wagner made his presence known in that game three. You're going to call me up. You're going to put me in.
Fly around.
I'm going to do so. I am going to make my presence known out here. I'm going to make things real uncomfortable for whatever minutes I get. And he did. He was a sneaky difference maker in that game.
How annoyed was Smith with Wags in game three?
That's great.
He crawled right up into his skull and was annoying him all night long.
Wags knocked his hat off.
It was the other Russian, right?
No. T-Bone, who was it? The helmet that went flying. The TV angle made it look like.
I forget who it was.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
It looked like he took it, like his whole head came off.
That's great. That's what I tweeted at Wags.
Oh, Cole. This is right around the time.
It's that third pairing when Wags is on the ice. It's Smith and Cole. It's those two guys.
Jack is losing his mind saying, like, he's still playing without his helmet. That's a penalty.
Oh, I do remember that. That was so annoying. Like, he was next to the bench, without his helmet for 10 seconds.
He's going to the bench.
Please.
You're not allowed to crawl
That's
on
a
all
penalty.
You can't crawl on all fours to get back to the bench. You have to play and you have to protect yourself as you're going back to the bench.
Yeah, you're supposed to go immediately to the bench.
Just give yourself
I get
up
it.
And
but
lay
it's
there.
Like, give me a break. Like, if you're going to complain about it, let's not complain about that.
That's a penalty.
For all 8 seconds he was there without his helmet on.
Was it eight?
I don't know. I don't even know. But it was brief. It was brief enough that no one should have been upset about it.
Right. And then the
Only him, though.
I think the story from yesterday was, your top line, Bergeron's play, Marchand's play.
Pastrnak looks healthy again all of a sudden.
Pastrnak's playing well.
Even DeBrusk to some.
DeBrusk, thank you, T-Bone.
I think
Excellent.
Marchand's the biggest part of this, though. And I think he has had some struggles as of late, and he has not looked like himself, and now he's back, and he's pissed off, which is never a good thing for anybody.
That power play shot.
When Marchand gets pissed, that's when he becomes even more dangerous. So that works against Carolina in this series, that they've managed to now give him his thing that keeps him going, right?
And there's
the chippiness, the edginess, all of it that you know he needs in his game to be his best.
Maybe that top line's hearing it too. Maybe they're hearing it a little bit, those key veterans. You know, these guys, you talk about Bergeron potentially retiring and that. Like, he looked like a different guy. But did they truly believe what, like, Taylor Hall was saying last week? Like, yeah, it's just a, bounce of a puck here or there, and, everything changes. Like, they really believe that.
Though. Yeah, see, like, I don't think that's what's changed,
I
though. Either. I don't think it's been the bounce of a puck that has been better
post,
for them.
It's inside
the
post,
one Bergeron goal where Marchand came into the faceoff circle, retrieved the puck, got it back to Pastrnak. Pastrnak puts it off the side of the net, and Bergeron squeezes it home. That's a bounce of a puck type of a goal, right? So there's one example. The other ones, I think they're still obviously very tight games. Very hard-nosed play on both sides. And you mentioned Marchand, like, what they have to counter it and who he's really agitating right now. One of the best things the Bruins have going for him is among their agitators on both sides. If the Carolina has D'Angelo and the Bruins have Marchand, the biggest difference is Marchand can play. I'm not convinced D'Angelo can even play all that well. I think he's a piece of crap, just like I'm sure everyone else in the league thinks Marchand is a piece of crap. I have a little more evidence for my D'Angelo thinking.
I think everybody does. I got to be honest with you. I wasn't totally familiar with everything that had gone on with him.
Oh, my God.
Holy crap.
I looked it up. I went deep yesterday, like his minor league records, like, oh, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
They hated it. They hated the signing in Carolina. Hurricanes fans couldn't stand it.
All six of them, they hated it.
and then he notched, I don't know, 7 points in 8 games or, 8 points in his first 7 games, and people, took to him right away. But what a piece of trash he is. Luckily for us, he really can't play hockey all that well. So go ahead and, be a prick. Be the hateable guy in this series. I'll take Marchand. You can hate him because guess what? He's one of the elite scorers in the league, and he showed up yesterday.
So what I was going to say, though, when you said, oh, really? was it's a best of three.
That's math.
Three games to go, and someone has to win two games. But the advantage for Carolina is they've got two in their building, and the Bruins have not proven that they can win there. They haven't.
Like a different team here.
They looked like a completely different team at home.
Did you feel like they didn't bring their second gear to Boston, Carolina?
I think they thought they had the series. They were up 1-0 Friday night, net coil goal, you know, to knot it up. Like, you talk about coming back from adversity. You're down 0-2, then you're down 0-1 in that game.
Well, I could just tell you
from there
that if we were doing the show today in Raleigh, I think we would be saying that, wow, this team should be tight. This team should be afraid, because they just went up there and they couldn't step on their throats when they had the chance to.
All you had to do was
get
one. And
they haven't been shown. They allowed this to become a series again.
Should have been go to Boston, try to get come out of there, just get one, and you got the series. And now it's completely different. They should be tight. Bruins should be loose.
Yeah, I mean, momentum matters.
Yep.
It does. I think we all believe
Swayman's
in it.
Swayman's hot.
We?
Yep. 2-0.
We all believe in it.
Not a huge, like, home ice guy.
Yeah.
But everyone's held serve. Everybody is, you know, it's 2-2.
Good pink
home
hat.
Teams
good
have won,
pink hat
home
building.
Teams have won all four games.
Good pink hat building down there.
You got it. It's got to be in the back of your mind.
Yeah, and the other thing was, we talked so much about that first goal in game three. Carolina got the first goal in game three. Couldn't put the Bruins away, though. What a weekend for the Bruins. I'm so impressed that they've tied this thing up.
I'm so proud of them.
I am.
We have
I still wouldn't
now.
Say until they prove they can win down there. I don't know that they're going to win the series, but just to be in this position after looking the way they did in those first two games, that's a credit to them.
You may save some
jobs. Could have easily packed it in. They could have easily said, we're cooked in this thing, and they didn't. And they've clawed and fought like hell here over the course of the weekend.
The second you heard McAvoy,
big old
was out.
Bruin bear claw.
You woke to poke the bear.
How about the bees?
Where's your goal videos? When are you gonna start it? Round two?
He's occasionally put
I did
them
a
up.
Couple.
He's occasionally put the goal videos up. The production team is shut down though. There are no new videos in the pipeline, from what I understand.
There was a lot of COVID cuts.
Yeah, COVID cuts. COVID cuts. 617-779-0985. Thoughts on the Bruins after this weekend? They just had to tie it up 2-2 with the Hurricanes. Celtics Bucks played game three on Saturday. They play game four tonight. That was a tough game for Jason Tatum on Saturday, and the Celtics very much had a chance at the end, thanks in part to the game that Al Horford played. We'll talk about that coming up. And the Red Sox got swept over the weekend at Fenway Park and are circling the drain. And it's the now second week of May. It's a bad, bad situation with the Red Sox. We'll get to that this hour as well. We'll get to the Celtics next. Your Bruins calls, all of it on this Monday on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's a Homer show. We are overwhelmingly positive. Bunch of honks.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Very, very positive sports show.
98.5.
Guilty as charged.
The Sports Hub.
4.6 is not a lot of time. He misses it on purpose. He gets the rebound. He throws it back up. It bounces out. Rob Williams crashes. Two people crash. It's tapped up and in, but it came too late. Or did it? We don't know. Al Horford tapped it in at the buzzer to tie it. Now the officials have to decide if he beat the clock. No basket, and game three comes to an end the way the entire fourth quarter went, in a wild scramble. It was going to be a very difficult pill for the loser to swallow, given the way the fourth quarter transpired. But the Bucks have held on by the skin of their world championship teeth. And they have taken a 2-1 lead in the series. The final score, Milwaukee 103, Boston 101.
Bucks took game three in Milwaukee on Saturday afternoon, and the Celtics losing by two is nothing short of a miracle in that game. Just the fact that they were in it at the end was surprising. I can't believe they were in that game. They played like crap.
That third quarter.
And when I say they, I'd like to focus in on one individual. Jason Tatum played like garbage in that game. That was painful.
That's right, Georgie.
That was a painful, painful game to watch him in because
he couldn't hit anything. He couldn't hit a layup. He couldn't hit a running hanger down through the paint. Defensively, there are a couple times where he was bitching about not getting a call and he didn't get back on defense. He gave up like two threes in that third quarter. Like that third quarter killed him. And you're texting, there's no way they're going to win this game. And then like, holy crap, they might steal this game. And they almost did.
That would have been a theft of all thefts if they won that game.
Oh,
Tatum played 41 minutes. He was 4 of 19 on his field goals, 0 for 6 on his three-pointers. He had 3 assists and 1 rebound.
It felt worse.
Like, he had 10 points, I'm like, he did? I don't remember 10 points. But okay,
you're gonna have a bad shooting night. I get it. It's gonna happen. I'd rather it not happen to somebody who's supposed to be a top 5-6 player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 10 points in a playoff game, that's unfortunate. 3 assists, 1 rebound in 41 minutes.
He didn't look engaged at all.
He looked like he got a little frustrated and a little disengaged by the end of it.
Third quarter, he's looking at the refs, like the whole time. You're like, get back. Let's go. Get back on D.
1 defensive rebound. That's it. You can't do that. I can't believe they almost won it with a no-show from Tatum, like across-the-board no-show.
That ain't going to happen every night. See, that's the one thing you can look at. Like, if that's Smart's numbers coming out of that game, you're thinking, okay, Celtics did everything they had to do to try to get back into that game, and maybe Tatum and Brown carried them. But the fact that's Tatum's numbers, I think there's a lot of people that still feel, okay, you're not happy, but you're happy he came back in that game.
Well, let me tell you
something. I think he showed a little grit in that fourth quarter.
Because that was Smart's night also. Marcus had
nine
points, 2 boards, and 2 assists. But defensively, he's doing more. And Tatum played, I think they all played good defense. But man, you need,
smart.
You need more in terms of offense, even if it's just assists or doing something under the boards for rebounds. Something that's really not Tatum's game, offensive rebounds. But you got if you're not hitting anything and you're not creating scoring chances for other guys, you got to contribute in some way, man.
Yeah, and I do think the Celtics got a little bit lucky in that. It was, again, for the Bucks, and they didn't have an answer for Giannis. They really didn't. First game where you felt like, okay, they don't have an answer for this guy today. They don't. That was the first thing. The other thing was, it was him, and it was Holiday, and no one else was Lopez was defensively, but no one else was a major factor in this
game. Lopez missed some bad shots.
So that's what I think kept them in the game. And so I look at it, and I say, well, Tatum's not going to play like that again.
No.
Tatum's not going to have another game like that. And the Celtics, even though they only gave up 103 points, I thought there were times where defensively there were things they could fix going forward. I'm not worried about them. They had a bad game. They went on the road. They had a bad game. It's the first of more than one game there.
Yeah.
So
good first half.
Look at that game and say they can win there.
Yeah.
They're certainly capable of winning there because they played like crap and it came down to the buzzer.
Yeah, they finished that first half good too. And I thought Williams was good. I thought Williams gave you about what he could give you too. And I know he had some tough calls go against him. Smart seemed like one of the few guys attempting to try and take a charge from Giannis. But Giannis is so damn explosive. Yeah, that drop step down low, just ducking his shoulder and just taking off down the paint. I don't know how you stop it. I don't know how you stop it if he's not going
to
get the call.
He goes from the free throw line to the basket in one step.
It's when he goes, he goes.
The one thing that just makes me a tiny bit nervous is something that Max said after the game.
Which is?
On the road in the playoffs, you generally have a chance to win a game. A game. Milwaukee had their chance to win one in Boston. They did it. Good. They really didn't have a chance in the second one. Celtics had a chance to win one in Milwaukee on Saturday, and they did not. Do they get another chance tonight?
I'm going to say yes, because they really didn't deserve the chance that they got. I mean, that was a bad game for them.
Everybody makes a run, though. We got nervous about the game that they won in Milwaukee, about the game that the Celtics won in Milwaukee, because the Bucks made a run in the third quarter. Everybody makes a run. The Celtics made a fantastic run in that game. That's to be expected. What is not necessarily to be expected, if you believe Cedric Maxwell, is that you'll get another chance for another road win tonight. They had their chance.
Max is like, that was their chance there. They had to get that one.
Kind of. Like, he's not counting them out. He's not saying they're losing tonight, yeah. But he said he's seen a few playoff series. You know? He's been in a few. He's seen a few. That was his concern after that game on Saturday. And I thought, I guess I'm a little concerned now, too.
Yeah.
Was that their best chance to win a game in Milwaukee that they did not capitalize on?
I'd feel worse if Tatum had played well and they lost by a bucket.
That's the immediate counter.
That's my counter to that.
I'm more with you. I'm not worried about them.
That's my counter. If they played, you know, somewhat representative of the way they had played in the first two games, and Tatum plays well and they lose by two, well, then I'm looking at it saying that was their chance. They blew it. But I expect Tatum to bounce back.
He should.
That's what good players do.
Yeah.
He's gonna have a bounce back game now, because he knows how poorly he played.
Yeah.
He knows it. All right. We got calls on the Bruins here. 617-779-0985. Mark in Medford, go ahead.
Hey, Beetle. I just want to personally thank, first of all, Tony D'Angelo for poking Brad Marchand, because that woke his ass up. Okay? And did you see when he was making fun of Marchand's nose? Marchand turned around and said to him, "You just wait." And what did he do right after that? A wicked wrist, a top shelf goal. And he turns around, raises his stick, looks at the Carolina bench, and then just turns his back on him and gets the hug from his teammates. But also, I do want to say one more thing. The first line, no matter who's on it, you expect them to do what they did yesterday. But the third and fourth line, especially yesterday, did their job. And Curtis Lazar probably played his best game as a Bruin yesterday, just to control himself from not dropping the gloves in front of the net and laying that guy out.
There was a great moment in that game, and he absolutely wanted him to go, and he was trying to get him to go. It was D'Angelo again, if I remember, wanted Lazar to drop the. He's like, no, I know exactly what you're doing here, and I'm not going to fall for it. And no, scoreboard.
Do you think Marchand still gets pissed at the nose stuff? Nose face
killer. He'll get pissed about anything that can give him that edge.
Right, but I don't care. Maybe. Good.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yep,
hope
big
it does.
Nose. Got
whatever.
It.
So, Mike in New Hampshire. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Beetle. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to agree with you real quickly. Momentum matters, as agreed. Also, history matters. In six playoff series dating back to when Carolina was actually Hartford Whalers, Bruins have taken five out of six of those series. And if you want to stay more current, when they became Carolina, we've taken three out of the four against them. So it's Bruins in six, overtime at the Garden, 3-2.
All right, Mike. I don't think any of that history matters.
Yeah,
I think none of that matters.
I would love to hang my hat on that today and bring it up all the time. I don't think it matters either.
Yep. I'm not reading the game notes and getting concerned with that.
Getting the Bruins at six calls now.
Gavin in Bangor, Maine today. Gavin.
Hey. Hardy, you're completely wrong on Tony D'Angelo. The guy's got 5 points in four games this series. He had 51 points in 64 games in the season. He's better offensively than anything the Bruins have. And you could really make the case that he is there.
He
is. Better than McAvoy offensively.
I think he means defensively.
All right.
He's better offensively. He's not saying he's best.
I thought Lindholm, who obviously hasn't played the last couple of games, was going to be that type of offensive presence defensively for the Bruins. Takes a lot of shots, you know, it creates some chances in front, even if they're out from the point. You know, that big heavy shot like Chara used to have, not to compare his slap shot with Chara, but, you know, put something up on net, leave something dirty in front of the net, some kind of rebound for someone to scoop up and clean up. You know, that's like, you know, where Bergeron has made his living, you know, in terms of scoring goals, a lot of goals like that. Obviously, we don't have that at all now. And I think he is, I'll acquiesce. I don't watch Hurricanes regular season hockey. I just know that this guy's had more fights with teammates and officials than he has opponents over the years. That he's been chased off of social media and apparently has burner accounts now set up. And that nobody can stand the guy. Anytime he gets a job somewhere, it's like, I think he's matured now. I think he's ready to go. You say the same thing about Marchand. I understand we have hateable players too. The difference is Marchand is night in, night out, one of the game changers, a literal game changer, to borrow Zoe's phrase from, I don't know, a week or two ago. It's like that guy changes the game. Does D'Angelo change the game? I don't know. I know I don't care for his game. I don't have a whole lot of respect for the guy. But if it works to instigate or infuriate or anything else, a guy like Brad Marchand and it results in a goal, go for it.
Well, fired up Brad Marchand to tell Tony D'Angelo that he was an effing racist yesterday multiple times. Multiple times.
I'm not even going to get into his politics.
Well, I'm just saying that's what Marchand said to him. That's what Marchand said.
I know. So those guys can get as personal as they want.
So Marchand's a hockey here. So Marchand's engaging here on everything with this guy. He went there. Marchand went there on the ice. That's what he did. So Marchand doesn't like him. They don't like each other. But the problem is, you piss off Marchand, you're going to get the best version of him. I said that right off the bat today. And now they've pissed him off. So good. That's great for Bruins fans.
Just dumb stuff.
Great for this team.
And throwing his stick at the end on the empty netter. It's like, you know that still counts if you do that. You know that's not allowed. You know you can't throw your stick across the ice to block a puck from going in the net.
Yep.
That dummy.
All right. Celtics and Bruins already in the mix. And also the Red Sox getting swept over the weekend against the White Sox. Trevor Story, still a problem for this team. We'll get to it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Opinionated.
Aferius is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Solak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tried to check it. He could not. It was that harder biting slider, Steve, for out number one.
Trevor Story has had a really tough series, and with it, probably for the first time in his career, he has heard some booing from the Fenway faithful, and that is a very tough thing to deal with when you haven't experienced it.
Yeah, not a lot of fun. I personally didn't know because it sounded like you half the time. So, but it's one of those things where you got to get through it, and when it's rock bottom, it's rock bottom, and you just got to mentally get and say, hey, things are going to change my way, and easier said than done.
Kevin Youkilis on the call as part of the NBC broadcast yesterday. Trevor Story striking out, getting booed at Fenway, becoming a regular thing. Regular thing. That was the last strikeout of the day for Story. The first one was special. It was. He looked at three pitches in a four-pitch at-bat and did not take the bat off his shoulder.
Tentative. That's something you yell at like your 10-year-old to do. A 10-year-old gets up there and all of a sudden you're facing good pitching. It's not coach pitch anymore. Swing. In a weird way, I think this is a good thing. And the worse this guy gets, the more I think they may have to just bring him, sign a Bogarts, like locking him up. Like, this guy ain't going to work here.
Milliken, let me ask you a question. Do you think Trevor Story read a single scouting report on Dallas Keuchel before the game yesterday? Because it sure as hell didn't look like it in that first at bat. That was stunning.
I think he did. I think he's just lost. And you see the pressure. Every single ball that's even borderline, that's going his way, he's screaming at the ump back there. And we saw Cora got himself ejected the other day over it on a ball that was borderline.
It wasn't egregious. It touched the strike zone.
Touched the strike zone, but Cora's trying to protect his guys, light a fire underneath them. But we're talking about out of all qualified hitters right now, he has the sixth worst strikeout percentage. Every hitter in baseball.
So he's the sixth worst batter in baseball when it comes to striking out.
Correct.
Okay.
And he's been your leadoff hitter a majority of the time the last
two weeks. Do you know how many qualified guys there are on that list?
About 170.
So out of 170-ish hitters, you've got 174 that are better than him? I'm sorry, 164 that are better than him.
Right in that range.
Okay. It's not good. It's ugly. It's very ugly right now.
I don't think it's a lack of effort. I really don't, like, but it's mental. It's almost a little Bobby Delbecq-esque where he had another ball.
Seriously.
Let's
not put him in the Bobby Delbecq category. Bobby Delbecq belongs in Worcester.
He does. I mean, from the mental aspect of wearing it, like, even defensively, there was a ball he was supposed to get to on Saturday that he... We're talking about a guy in Trevor Story. He has the range. It just deflects off the glove.
He's fighting it.
He's
fighting it in the field, too, which is... It's something. It's a sight. I don't know what to really make of this other than, wow, there should have been some consideration to whether or not this guy could play.
But I mean, I understand it's a
Heim, your job is to figure out if the guy could play before you brought him here.
Especially when, you know, part of him coming here was you moving off Hunter Renfro and... trying to replace that production in some way. It's a big miss at the moment.
Not only that, you decided to spend your monetary resources on this guy. This is the guy you chose to spend the big money on.
And upset Xander Bogaerts.
And make the real investment in this offseason. And he's been a gigantic failure to this point. That does not mean he won't hit at some point. Because I don't know how you can't do better than what he's doing right now. I don't know how that's possible. There's no way this continues.
Oh, did he not know this, too? But didn't Matt say that? Didn't he fire his agent after the deal was done? He switched agents after.
I have no idea.
I think he switched agents after the deal in Boston got done because he thought he was going to Texas, right?
It's not exactly that. He did switch agents, and it's something like that's
Maz
not being talked
that out,
about
like,
enough.
Yeah.
It was a couple weeks
something
ago.
Something got messed up.
Did he want to be in Texas?
There's a belief he felt like he was on the back burner this offseason with his agency, which was the reason.
Like, this was a backup.
So he
plan B.
Let me speculate. He thought he had a deal with Texas. He thought his agents sealed the deal with Texas. They spent money this offseason, and all of a sudden he was shut out in Texas, and his other option to get paid was to go to Boston.
Bingo. That's what Maz is thinking.
Oh, boy.
And now he ain't happy. He's not happy.
Oh, boy. He's playing for a team and in a town... where he doesn't want to be?
In a position he didn't want to play.
And on a day you're bad, you leave the clubhouse without talking to the press.
So that happened. Was that Friday? Happened?
That's overblown.
All right. Thursday, because we talked about it on Friday.
He was in the batting cage during that whole time. Alex Spear confirmed
it. We talked about it on Friday. We later got the report from Spear. Shaughnessy tweeted out that after you suck the way you do, you know, you can't dodge the questions.
Dan lit the fire.
Yeah, he did, because Dan is an old school guy, and he's one of those few old school voices still left in there, which I think Tomasi is too. I consider that a good thing. So he said you can't dodge that. And the response was that he went to the cage after the game, and that's why he wasn't available to the media. He came back on, was it Saturday or Friday night, and said, no, that was a miscommunication. I'm not trying to dodge the accountability or anything else. I wasn't even aware you guys wanted to talk to me, which I will give him the one-time pass on for this reason. He's never played in a real market. Do you think in Colorado, when he sucked, there were like four guys waiting to talk to him?
No.
I don't think they have four guys.
I don't even think they have four guys covering the team.
They're heading to a brew pub.
So I'll give him a pass on that one, but I do think that it should be something he takes note of. Oh, don't do that again.
He's been there the last two games, ready to talk after. And the other thing is, what's the biggest line of the weekend from Trevor Story that stood out to me? I never heard myself get booed before when he was in Colorado, because obviously they suck
again,
every single year.
Right. They never booed him there when he sucked, and they never asked him any questions when he sucked. And now he plays in a place where the fans will boo you, and Dan Shaughnessy will be waiting at your locker stall saying, why do you suck so bad? I mean, that's the difference between playing for the Rockies and playing in New York and Boston and Philadelphia and places where they have, you know, real fans, real media. That's what it comes down to. That's the difference.
It sucks getting booed, man.
And I'm guessing that if he were playing for the Texas Rangers right now, nobody would be booing him. That's what I would just take a guess that that would be the case. Ooh. I hope this doesn't end as poorly as other major free agent signings have ended here for players that have come to Boston on large contracts and have had it completely blow up in the Red Sox face. We're talking Crawford, Sandoval, Adrian Gonzalez. That's my hope, that it doesn't end like those.
Yeah, so, I mean, Sandoval is what that one was. Same thing, Crawford, you know, the expectations from that standpoint, I don't think this is more of like an Adrian Gonzalez comparison, I think. Just, it's not going to work in this market if you don't get your head out of here, you know what. He's got to go on a tear. He's got to get a couple games where, you know, he's starting to hit the ball. He just doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look comfortable at all. Like that first at bat, we watched it again during that last break, and you stand there and you take.
Do you remember?
You take every pitch.
Do you remember how we thought J.D. Drew's first year in Boston was a disaster?
Yep.
He batted 270 that year. And we thought that was a complete disaster with J.D. Drew. And I think he did just fine after that, right? He sort of saved himself with the big home run in the playoffs in 07. And he
helped you win.
He was better after that. I mean, the next year he hit 280 and was pretty consistent for the next couple of seasons.
All-star that year.
And so, yeah, I think you got to hope that he's more J.D. Drew than he is Carl Crawford.
Well, the problem, too.
That's, I guess, the hope.
The biggest problem is he's projected to be your new shortstop, right? Like, if this guy was just brought in here to play second base.
You want him playing shortstop for you?
Not at the moment.
Not right now. That's
Holy
why I
crap.
Say you don't wish for them to, you know, to do bad or him to do bad, but, like, best case scenario out of this is, wow, we gotta keep Xander. Like, we gotta re-up him. Like, he gets it.
Yeah, and you got to keep Devers, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, that goes without saying. You know, Devers is probably more important for the long term because of his age. You know, and just, you know, what that guy's trajectory is going to be.
And we're right now only talking about where the team is with this signing and Trevor Story. We haven't even mentioned where this team is in the scope of this season. This is a start that I don't think they can recover from. I don't think they can. Look at their division. How do they bail themselves out of this?
Look at the rest of the American League. The Twins, they're leading the Central. That White Sox team that's in second place, that's injured, that doesn't even have a majority of their roster, just kicked you in the teeth for three straight games.
And there is all kinds of statistical analysis to back this up, that if you bury yourself in the first 30 games, you can't get out of the hole. You can't do it.
They basically have to play 600 baseball to get to 90 wins this year the rest of the way.
Oh, my God.
And that doesn't guarantee them anything.
No.
And I think that's the part that you forget about this. Oh, we're going to play 600 the rest of the way.
To get to 90 wins, and then
we'll see.
Yeah. Maybe
get a play-in game.
And is there anything about this team that inspires that level of confidence that they could flip that switch, not next week or 3 weeks from now, today. Starting today, we play 600 the rest of the way.
But Hardy, you don't remember how exciting that play-in game was.
That we take two out of every three, and we win every series the rest of the season.
I think
they can do that?
Oh. By the way, Chris Sale, James Paxton, and Josh
Taylor.
We
didn't even get to it. That's all coming up. Let's get back to your calls on Celtics
There's
and Bruins.
No play-in game anymore?
Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, the play-in game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Opinionated.
You like donuts? Nope.
And passionate.
We all know you're not the brightest bulb on the branch.
Okay? Brightest bulb on the branch?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Two worlds collide.
617-779-0985. Yeah, we've got more things to say about the Red Sox. We'll sprinkle them in along with the other things we've got to say about Bruins and Celtics today. Well, let's get back to your calls. Jeff in Rockland, what do you have from the weekend?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. Just a couple quick notes. Great Bruins weekend. First line is unreal. Swimming played great. At least there's a goalie who stands up instead of sits on his knees all day. And as far as the Celtics go, yeah, we missed it by a second, but if Tatum showed up in the third, we might not even need that second, you know?
Sure. No. I thought he got it in. I thought the tip was good, but then, you know.
Well, Horford knew right away it was no good.
Yeah,
see
but
his reaction?
The teammates, yeah.
Yeah,
see,
zero reaction.
I was watching the rest of the team, and they're going nuts grabbing him. Like, they thought
watch
they had
Horford. Watch Horford here, right?
I didn't know.
He said, look at, he walks right away.
Yep.
He, if you see the reverse angle of it, he knew right away.
Wait, here's
he
the
knew,
horn.
He knew it was no good. No, he sees the red. He sees it, and it's still on his hand.
He's got the clock above the bucket.
Yeah, and you see Smart trying to signal that it was good. Who else is trying to signal that it was a
everybody,
good basket?
The whole bench. Yeah, they went nuts.
Yeah, except for Horford, who knew.
Yeah. You know what I couldn't stop watching during this game? Wick. Wick was sitting in that second seat right from Ime. Great seats.
Who is that? Who grabs Horford? And he's like, yeah, guys.
Look at Tice. Tice is like, it's good.
Oh, Pritchard was out there cutting the net down.
Someone had him on his shoulder.
Horford was like afraid to tell them that it was no good. He's like, yeah, guys, it wasn't good.
It was a hell of a play by Smart, though.
Mugged. And he's like, yeah, no, guys, it didn't go in time.
All right.
That was my favorite part about this.
Do you think Smart was shooting?
He's like, God damn it.
Do you think Smart was shooting the three? I know the intention was there to shoot, but I thought the foul was timely enough.
You know,
going back to look at, because he wasn't up, and they knew they had to foul.
Do I think that in the regular season he gets called in the act?
Probably.
Yes. Yep.
Probably.
No doubt about it.
Because he didn't get the ball up. You know,
oh, and by the way, this is a side topic of this game because it did not decide the outcome of the game. So we're not going to go down this road, Green Teamers. The officiating was brutal. Not that it impacted one team or the other. More so, but it was horribly officiated.
Yeah.
There was no consistency in the officiating.
Nothing.
In that game. That was atrocious.
Smart's three-point attempt, and I know they've tweaked the rule.
I know the intention's there to shoot. Like, everybody in the stadium knows he, or in the arena, knows he's going to shoot.
The lean in, you know, to get contact and then shoot, that's gone now, right?
You can't do that.
You're not supposed to do that anymore. But this was...
I thought
he was going to shoot the three. He tied him up. It's like,
it's
I understand it's a difference between like being fouled in the act of shooting. But if you're stopping.
He's not going out of his way as you're saying, I'm agreeing with you, Hardy. He's not going out of his way to draw a foul there.
He's going to shoot
the three.
The guy's
on him. Like, he's on him and he wants to launch the three. Maybe. But either way, doesn't matter. It's in the regular season, without the stakes that this game had, they would have called it.
I thought Brown wasted too much time there, you know, dribbling and trying to drive the lane, trying to create to where you sort of force Smart into that situation. I thought they could have had a better play drawn up, you know, at the end there.
It's always bugged me too. Like, what that is an intentional foul at the very least.
It should be two shots.
Well,
yeah, not three.
Or give him two
shots
in the ball.
Two in the ball.
It's like if you're going to, you know, stop someone from shooting like that, but it's never going to be called like that. It's too much part of the game. It's too much part of the strategy. All right, fine, whatever. But give him three.
But that's everybody.
That should be a shooting.
Everybody's
foul,
complaining about this, right? See, that's not like true in the act of shooting, to me. Because if you're going to foul, you know,
what difference does it make if he's going up to take the shot and he bear hugs him so that he can't take the shot? What's the difference?
I'm with you. I think it should be two in the ball. Two in the ball.
I'd
take that one. I'd take the chances with that.
No, that's not going to happen either.
No.
Let's go to Brendan in Foxborough. Hi, Brendan.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Before I start on Tony D'Angelo, we all agree he's a dirtbag, but, I mean, this year he's played 64 games, 10 goals, 41 assists for 51 points and plus 30. He's an effective player for them. But on Rod Brind'Amour, last night you have McAvoy and Lindholm out. And instead of going at the Bruins' decor and exposing them, he's having a hissy fit on the bench, challenging horrible challenges, instead of attacking the Bruins without their two best D, they're starting to crack. Because if Bruins played Tampa and they were missing Hedman and McDonough, and you don't win that game, and your coach is losing on the bench, you're starting to crack. So I think this series might almost be over.
What did you make of the challenge on DeBrusk and the goalie interference?
I thought it was a horrible challenge. Yeah. Wow, that's going to be a goal. That's a horrible challenge, especially in that moment, because if you lose that challenge, they're going back on the power play. They're on the power play. Aho high sticks Bergeron. Then it's 5-on-3. Game's over right then and there. Team just folded after.
Yeah, I think you got to factor in a couple of things when you decide to challenge that. Where you are in the game, what the score is, what the potential fallout is of the loss. You know, if you lose the challenge, if you're not correct. But aren't you sort – I mean – it's sort of a quick decision you have to make. And if you just look at that play quickly, you're like, oh, what happened here? But if you actually look at that play the way we got to right after it happened, they got the call right. It wasn't.
Yeah.
That goal was a good goal. I'm thinking maybe, just maybe, he saw the two on ice officials sort of gathering behind the net for half a second after that goal, thinking they've got doubts about whether or not this is a good goal. He may have been reading those cues after it was scored. Headlines here, 90 seconds. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.